Physical therapy is torture. Well, that may not be the way you feel, but someone out there does, or do they? Stay tuned for the next episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Well, this is Jeff Worrell back with another episode of PT Talker. I want to thank everyone for joining us again for another exciting episode. Joining me today is Mr. Adam Mendenhall, who is a physical therapist for Southern Utah Physical Therapy in Cedar City, Utah. Welcome, Adam, to our show.
Thank you.
But there's a third person on the line, and that is Ms. Jennifer Weaver, who is a bureau chief for the Spectrum and Daily News out of Cedar City, Utah. And she actually is the person who wrote a column where the title was Therapy is Torture. Jennifer, welcome to our show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I promise not to be too hard on you, but that is really a tough way to start out an article and what caught my attention. So can you tell me what possessed you to say therapy is torture?
The pain. Plain and simple.
Okay. All right. So let's give our listeners a little bit of background. The pain, obviously, but you are a patient of Adams there at Southern Utah Physical Therapy, and you were referred to them having had a ACL reconstruction, and you went there for rehab. So I'm assuming you went in there with maybe some preconceived notions. Let's talk a little bit about what you were expecting, and then did it become reality? And of course, just so our listeners know, there is always a happy ending. So we'll have, you know, this will be a everyone lived happily ever after at the end of this podcast, but get us started, Jennifer.
Well, I did some research because as a reporter, that's what you do before you go into a situation. So I talked to other people who had had knee surgeries, whether that be a replacement or similar to what I experienced with an ACL reconstruction, and asked them what I could expect about the exercises, about how rigorous it would be, and you know what the relationship would be between me and my physical therapist. And I heard, you know, that it was going to be painful, but to be patient with the process and to really develop a trusting relationship with my physical therapist so that when he did tell me to do exercises that I thought was crazy and probably out of the norm from the way I would typically work my knee, just to go with the process that it would get better over time. And so I went in trepidatious, a little scared. And luckily, Adam is very personable, and he talked with me and helped me feel a little bit more comfortable and explained everything thoroughly before we even embarked on any physical exercise or exercising of the knee in any way. So there was a great rapport with him explaining everything, which was a surprise to me. I thought I was going to go in there and have a man with a whip, you know, cracking that whip, saying, you do what I say, it's best for you, you listen to me, and, you know, it wasn't like that at all.
Good.
So
now,
it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Now, Adam, do you find that Jennifer, that her attitude when she walked in the door and knowing now what you know, do you find that that's common and something that maybe our listeners can relate to, that patients are scared or even wary of what might occur in the typical PT department?
Yes, I absolutely do. There are several people that come in. I would say a high percentage, maybe even a majority of patients that come in post-surgery that have kind of a preconceived notion that that will be basically torture. And the problem with that is there is pain involved. There is a lot of issues you have to deal with any kind of surgery, post-surgery, whether it's swelling, inflammation, any kind of other issues that we may deal
adhesions,
with.
Adhesions, that kind of thing?
Adhesions, yeah. And exactly. An adhesion in a knee patient, especially a major surgery on the knee, where they actually have to go into the joint, that is exactly what the problem is scar tissue adhesions that can develop, and that's why we have to try to push early movement. And so sometimes it can be perceived as torture. But I did want to point out that her article said physical therapy is torture, and then in parentheses, not really.
Yes, of course. I was leaving that off, for the end.
Yes, but that is exactly how it seems at times. And I think some frank communication from the very beginning about how therapy will proceed, and we will go with what a person's tolerance will let us do, mm-hmm. is crucial when you're starting someone out in rehab initially.
Yeah. Now, certainly, Jennifer, just on the air here, credited you with giving good explanation. It does so also in the column. Do you find that have you been trained in how important this is to make sure patients understand? Do you believe this is relatively common in our industry, or do you think that's something that the physical therapy community needs to work on? And I guess I asked that question based on what Jennifer had heard from the research that she did.
I was trained in definite, in a lot of patient communication. A lot of that training actually did come with some experience I had as a clinician working for a previous therapist, mm-hmm. and watching how better communication can elicit better results. And, physical therapy, it was a few years ago when they were coming up with a slogan for the next year for Physical Therapy Month. One of my favorite ones was physical therapy is a science and an art in mm-hmm. itself. We base all of our procedures on clear-cut science, but there also is an art to it in explanation, in getting somebody's confidence, in letting them know that everything you're doing is for their benefit, and educating them about their process. I find it surprising that a lot of people come in for therapy and haven't been explained what happens with their condition, what's happening mm-hmm. inside the joint, what's happening at certain times, and that explanation alone seems to help a lot of people.
Yeah,
even more than the therapy itself.
Now, Jennifer, I noticed you wrote that you were ready to belt him one or slug him, but I trust you didn't do that. But what can you say about the treatment overall? And I understand that Adam did a great job and you're doing very well, but what do you think others out there that may be considering going into rehab need to know prior to entry and prior to walking in the door?
Well, I think they definitely have to have a conversation with their surgeon so that they have an understanding of the joints and the recovery and the rehabilitation that will take place, and take that information and discuss it with a therapist that they'll be working with, so that there is that level of basic understanding, and from that starting point, just keep communicating with each other. I think, because Adam and I have worked together regularly, I consider him a friend now because
right.
You've been able to have those conversations that not only help you with recovery physically, but you instill that trust. So emotionally and psychologically, you're able to go in with a good attitude, knowing that, okay, this isn't, there's discomfort, there is a little bit pain involved, but what everybody told me did happen, it gets better with time.
Yes.
And so just having that basic communication, I think Adam has really hit the nail on the head when he says that that's really important, that you establish rapport and a trust.
Mm-hmm. Adam, is there, just for our listeners out there that are primarily physical therapists, are there any things that you do that might be different from the typical ACL protocol that might be out there, or things that you do other than this good communication that Jennifer speaks so highly of?
After hearing, we've been to several conferences on last year we were on a conference on ACL rehabilitation. As part of the conference, and it doesn't appear that we do many things that much differently. Mm-hmm. One thing we do have here, and maybe because it's a small community, is we have good communication with our physicians mm-hmm. also, and I can't emphasize that enough too, that there's a good communication line between therapists and the physician, so they can feel free and I can feel free to contact them anytime if there's a problem, if there's a need, if there's something that's going on that's a little bit funny.
Yeah.
I think we have that. I think we have that exceptionally here in Cedar City. Some other places that may be a little bit different, but other than that, the protocol was for Jennifer, for instance, was completely the same.
Okay, and you're doing a lot of probably range of motion work, exercise. Are you also incorporating any modalities into the typical treatment when she from the time she got there to when she left?
Definitely.
Okay.
Modalities help us. It's easier for us to do that. It makes our job a little bit easier. Can provide a little bit of comfort to them at the beginning, whether it's a
managing the pain
care,
yeah, okay,
or a muscle re-education issue.
Uh-huh.
I've found them to be quite valuable, especially initially in rehab.
Okay. So, Jennifer, in just the short few minutes that we have left, are you ready to go dancing yet? Give us a report. Where are we in our rehab?
Where are we? Well, I'm going to continue to do physical therapy and get stronger. My surgery was July 6th, so I'm actually still in the process of recovery.
Wow. And let me just insert here. We're recording on August 30th, I think it is, or 31st here. We're recording.
31st.
Yeah. So really, you're just now at 30 days. And are you seeing Adam on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday routine, or how does that work?
Well, we're trying to fit it in with my crazy schedule as a reporter.
Yeah, yeah.
But typically, you know, we've been working in about twice a week.
Twice a week, okay.
I would just really emphasize, too, that when the physical therapist gives you exercises to do at home, that you do them. I think that having that continuous exercising, even when you're not working with your physical therapist and doing what he tells you to do or she tells you to do at home, is also very important. He or she is relying on you to do your part. They can only do so much. You have to put in the effort. You have to go in with a good attitude and know that what you're doing is just going to benefit you in the long run so that you can go dancing, which is hopefully I will be able to do soon.
All right, and we know you will because Adam's going to take great, great care of you. So thank you to you both for taking the time to join us today on PT Talker.
Thank you very much.
All right, you have been listening to Adam Mendenhall, who's a physical therapist at Southern Utah Physical Therapy in Cedar City, Utah. I hope to get out there one day and meet them both, as well as Jennifer Weaver, who is the bureau chief for the Spectrum and Daily News right there in Cedar City. Her column was picked up on the wire, and we got hold of it and wanted to bring her viewpoint to our listeners here at PT Talker. So hopefully this information you'll find helpful, and possibly you found something that might help you help someone get well today, which is always our goal here at PT Talker. And you can certainly find previous episodes on iTunes. This is Jeff Worrell saying thanks to our sponsor, Advantage Medical, and hope you'll join us next week for another episode with an expert on PT Talker.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.